Welcome to the Intuitive Awakening Podcast. I'm your host, Deanna Riddick. I'm an author, teacher, and eternal seeker of truth. I am on a mission to spread metaphysical knowledge to everyone in an effort to help them awaken to universal truth. If you want to learn about spirituality, the occult, and all things related to metaphysics, you are in the right place. Hey everyone, thank you so much for tuning in and listening for this week's episode. This week, my sister actually channeled my guide to ask him some questions and get his perspective, since it's a little bit different than her guide. As you'll hear here, just conversations about what's happening in Ukraine, how we can help, oneness, etc. I hope you enjoy. All right, so first and foremost, just let him know thank you for answering these questions. I definitely have a variety of questions today, but the first thing I wanted to tackle was what's happening overseas. Unfortunately, like all the violence and the war that's happening, and I just wonder, I know these things happen through time, but I was wondering if this has anything to do, or why is this happening at this particular time? I should just ask that question.
It's like in conjunction with the changes that are happening. You know, if you think about how COVID hit and it made us all kind of change as people. And then everybody, you know, be more self-aware of stuff or more selfish. And some people changed and some people didn't. And this is, you know, yet another wake-up call for people. And it's basically trying to unite people. This is just trying to unite people.
Does this have anything to do with kind of like the evolution of, I guess, the planet in a way, like consciousness? Like, is there a necessary change? Kind of like that cycle of death and rebirth, or no?
He says that evolutionary consciousness is always occurring, but this was more of a way to make people come together, you know, support people that they don't even know, you know, learn how to kind of, I don't know, like build compassion. People need to learn how to be more compassionate and thankful and self-aware of their situations in order for evolutionary consciousness to occur.
I see. So it's kind of, I have a kind of a two-part question here, but I'll ask the first part. So given, you know, COVID and the number of people who perished and what's happening in Ukraine, it seems like a lot of people are leaving the planet very quickly, like just in large numbers. So how does the other side prepare for something like that?
He says, you mean prepare for like a mass exodus like they did for the Holocaust?
Yeah.
He says, it, you know, I like the words pre-written. It was pre-written. Like, they already knew this was going to happen. Mm. Remember, everybody is learning. They're coming here to learn what they need to learn and their lessons that they need to learn. But also, it is for the other side. You know, think of it as a mass casualty. And they need to also know how to prepare for a mass casualty on their end as well.
And so what about, I know that when we come to this earth, we all play different roles, light and dark. So what about those who, like, let's just say for the war in, in Ukraine, instigated this war, like, when it's their time to go as well, there's kind of an assumption that, you know, if you were like a quote unquote, you did something negative, or if you did something atrocious here, that you're going to a quote unquote dark place, but you came here to fulfill a role. Isn't that correct? Even if it was a, what we consider to be a darker role.
Correct. You can't have the light without the dark. But sometimes the dark is overrun, and not necessarily like people who instigate. Sometimes the wrong comment is made, the wrong action is taken. Doesn't mean that you're a completely dark person or a dark spirit. Gotcha. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you're completely evil, like people that are serial killers, then yes, you know, have, your spirit has a lot to work on. And if it's unrepairable, then, you know, it is dispersed into other energies. But sometimes wars happen because of miscommunications, misunderstandings. People are human, and their human nature gets in the way of their spiritual nature.
Well, it seems like with everything that's been going on for several years now, it seems like a lot of big things have been happening. People could really benefit by kind of, as we all hear in this community, you know, taking a good look inward or going within, which is kind of something I want to talk to you about today, because many of us, when we read, or even when we practice with our spirit guides or, you know, just anything, we're always told to look inward for answers, that all the source of truth is within, or the kingdom of God is within. And this is something I wanted to kind of ask you about, like, because many people want to know exactly what this means. I think we kind of get it intellectually, but we don't really understand what it means to access like that source of truth that's within us. So can you talk a little bit about what that means exactly?
We all have an innate knowing, even if we don't know it's there, the little voice in your head, I guess, the little tug in your heart. Some of us listen to that more than others. So it's just about wanting to be a better person, and that's the big, and for people who are not in this, you know, community, using words, you know, like knowing and spiritualism is kind of scary for them. But for those who are religious, it is like hearing, you know, like you're hearing the voice of God, quote unquote, even though you're not. You're just hearing your consciousness. And people just need to be more quiet, and they can hear their consciousness.
What about, you know, some people would say that, okay, and they have a hard time believing that voice because the messages don't always coincide with their own beliefs or even the experiences that they've had. So how can people begin to kind of build that trust?
Baby steps. You know, don't make a big decision based on a voice that you're not sure is trustworthy. But little things, you know, go right instead of going left. Maybe it saves you 10 minutes in traffic.
Gotcha. So would you say then that voice, many people give it many names, but would you say that voice is kind of like the divine mind giving us messages, like just literally like God, whatever name you want to call it, giving us direction.
No, you can call it your divine mind. You can call it also your higher self. You know, when you think of God, God is not a person.
Right.
And I don't know, it's just hard, I guess, for people to grasp that. So when you say, I don't know, it's hard to explain. But yes, I guess it's your divine mind or your higher self. And for those who need to hear it because of their religious beliefs, it's God talking to them.
Exactly. It's funny you say that because I think he's looking at my notes. Because that's exactly what I was going to ask. Seriously. So for me personally, I do think, you know, yes, you know, you're raised in a church, you think God is a man, but my personal belief, I think, is like, it's this divine mind. That's kind of like always projecting, you know, these thoughts, if you will. And I think people, yes, have a very hard time connecting, you know, to the idea of God not being a human, God, you know, just being this living consciousness, I don't know, mind. So in general, people have a very hard time connecting to God or feeling connected. How can we kind of re-envision God so that we can try to feel connected to that source?
Okay, I'm going to give an analogy that I kind of was shown. Imagine the sun. Mm-hmm. The sun is why we have life here on Earth, correct?
Right.
So when you're asking about God and consciousness, I see a big ball of light. And that big ball of light speaks to you. And that is what God is like.
Do you think?
So if people need to imagine what God looks like or feels like, go outside when it's a sunny day, be quiet and still and listen. Listen, whatever comes to your mind. And that'll give you a little bit of what, it's a fraction of what it really is like.
Okay. Kind of along those lines, you know, people, you know, life is hard down here. And when people start to kind of go on this path of trying to listen to their intuition or higher self, or whatever, sometimes your life can fall apart drastically. I don't know how to explain that, but sometimes when you start to, I don't know, go down this road, things in your life start to be removed, or you lose people or places, jobs, things like that. It's very hard to trust when that happens. Can you talk about maybe why those things happen? I know, you know, everything is case specific, but it seems like it happens to a lot of people.
It is meant to remove distractions that don't serve. They don't serve you. They don't serve your purpose, you know, like everybody has that voice that kind of guides into what they should be doing. And maybe they start. But then people, friends, jobs come along that distract that. And therefore, when you're seriously, and it's usually when you're at a low, and you realize nothing in your work is like, life has worked, is when you take a step back and look.
Yeah.
And then you start building towards that. If that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I definitely understand it. I think it's an interesting way to put it that it's a distraction. I think many people, and again, I can't speak for everybody, but yeah, it just seems like, I guess, you know, in a way he's right. When you start to, yeah, take a step back and look at things and why things haven't been working out or why you're having consistent problems, perhaps you start questioning, and then who knows, that questioning leads to another step, which could lead you into this direction, I guess. And perhaps that triggers some sort of change, new experiences. I don't know. Okay, so I wanted to ask about this whole concept of oneness, because many people who are on this path, you know, want this experience of feeling, you know, oneness with God. I know you gave the analogy of the sun earlier, but in our day-to-day lives, when we have, you know, challenging lives, we have a job that we might not like, we have people at our work who, you know, treat us terribly or drive us crazy, and we have family members who are unkind, all these regular day-to-day things that we have, how can we experience the oneness of God even through those situations?
It would be by stopping and just taking a breath, closing your eyes. You all have those moments where people tell you to just breathe. That is what you do. And imagine more kindness. Or tolerance. But sometimes.
A lot of people don't believe in the power of your own imagination. How powerful is it really?
If you believe that you're a co-creator, then it's very powerful. You see colors. You can play out images and pictures. It is like you're creating something with that. And I challenge anybody to imagine something or try to create something in their imagination and see and watch it come to life, even something small.
So what about the whole idea of, okay, just an example here. Let's say you're dealing with a challenging situation at work. You have people who are, you know, being condescending to you or what have you. Can you imagine in your mind, like, either like a bubble of protection around you so those words bounce off you? Is that like an effective strategy, or you send, you know, you see light and you send it to them? Like, are those effective strategies as an example and using like your imagination?
Yes, that would work as well. Both of those would work. But when it's challenging, it's really challenging to imagine anything good. So yes. At times it's just better to focus on yourself. And just being, or just taking the higher road and being the better person.
Many people here, even myself at times, have a very difficult time with that one belief that we are co-creators, because we have a life that doesn't reflect what we hope in our hearts or what we, you know, want to experience here. I don't even know what my question is about this, but it is a very difficult thing when you've had a very challenging life to believe that you can really affect change or create an experience that you want, I would ask, like, how can you shift that thought? How can you begin to believe that a little bit better? But I don't really know what the answer is to that question. I don't know if he has any thoughts on that.
It's more like people have a mindset of thinking that they're lucky versus unlucky. And once you feel that you're unlucky, it's hard to change that mindset. But it's like, acknowledge your successes and don't downplay even the small ones.
Okay. So what about when it comes to a very big, terrible situation like Ukraine? Many people who don't have the funds, let's say, to donate money, to help out, is there just, I talked about this last week, but is there in your mind, like sending love, I guess, is that like an effective strategy that we have in our own imaginations, in our own hearts, to, I don't know, collectively shift what's happening, or no?
Well, yes, of course, a lot of people do it all at the same time. Yes, for sure. You don't concentrate on, don't put your energy on what you don't want, because you're still putting energy in it. Put it in what you do want. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. So what if, let's say, as an example here, you went through a bad experience, so your mind has been very down in the dumps for that one experience, and you've been thinking about it and over and over and over, but you want to change it. How long does it take to focus on the positive, to change that negative situation that you've been in for a long time?
Give me an example.
Oh, Lord. I give something stupid. So let's say that you were in a relationship and it ended really badly and you were treated poorly and you just believe that you'll never date anybody again. You'll never have a relationship again. You'll never have anybody good again. You'll always be alone, always be alone. Let's say that's been in your mind for like a year, but then you're finally ready to start shifting that thought to like, okay, I'm going to attract a good person to me. Things are going to work out. I'm going to have a partnership. How long do you have to focus on the good, on the positive, to shift that very long negative thought that you've had for like a year?
Well, first and foremost, you have to want to shift it. You have to want to shift and change the thought, and that's the first step. So it's once you start realizing that what you're doing is not working, and you want to know why, and you stop and you take a look at yourself, that is the first building block to making better things happen. And of course, healing, always, you have to heal. You can't be like, today, for the last 15 years, I hated this, or this was horrible, and tomorrow, you know what, it's not anymore. So, it's just, you know what I mean? You can't expect something overnight. It is going to take as long as it took you to be that way. It's going to take as long or twice as long to be the other way, the opposite of what you want.
Right. That's true. I think, yeah, it's very, very difficult. And many people believe, even like myself, I do think, I mean, he can answer this. Are there limits in terms of what you can create, how much you can create down here?
I would say yes, but no, the answer is no. You think of everything that has been created that we didn't think could be.
So it wouldn't, what you want to create is not dependent upon your own life plan. Like if I wanted to, very stupidly, I'm just saying, at my age, I wanted to become a dancer or I wanted to become an astronaut or I wanted to, you know, just create something that might not be in alignment with my life's plan. Wouldn't that kind of be like a two thumbs down from the universe? Like, no, that you can't create that.
Yeah, you'd probably be discouraged. Yeah, it would not work out. And you keep asking why. It's because it wasn't supposed to be.
Okay, that's my mentality personally. I think everybody thinks, okay, with the law of attraction and everything, you can create anything that you want, no matter what. In my mind, it's like, well, it has to be in alignment with what you're here, with your mission, with what you're really here to accomplish. But that's my personal belief system.
I mean, you can want to be a singer your whole life, but can't carry a tune. It's never going to happen.
Right. That's definitely true. I just have a couple more questions. So things that people have asked me over the past like months that I've been teaching. Number one, as my guide knows, everybody wants to meet their spirit guide for answers, like for help, because this world is hard and there's a lot of confusion. And just like myself, we have a lot of questions. Why? Some people cannot. Oops, sorry, I think the connection dropped. Can you hear me?
I can now.
Okay. So why is it that some people can meet and see their guides, and why is it that some can never meet and see their guides?
Everybody has the ability to. It's personal blocks. Lack of, like you say, believing. You know, thinking what I'm hearing is fake when it really isn't.
Gotcha.
And that's the big thing, is my imagination, but when it's not your imagination.
So then I feel personally that it is harder to hear your inner voice than it is even your guides and angels. What are his thoughts on that? I think people have a very hard time hearing that inner voice for direction.
True. And I think sometimes people confuse the two.
Yes. I think so as well, because there are times where I think it's my higher self, but then I wonder if it's my guide speaking. But I mean, I'll take any advice I can get. So it doesn't matter to me.
Think of it this way. Your higher self asks you to do the harder things.
It does. That's a very good point. It wants the ridiculous.
Almost, yes.
Yes, I completely agree with that. So just another thing, I want to go back to this idea of the imagination, because I always think I don't know, my personal belief is that your imagination is really, really powerful, and that you can really create a lot of things here. I guess I want to emphasize that, because a lot of us feel very trapped in our lives right now with inflation, with debt, with limitations here, and just a lot of negativity. And I guess,
you know. So basically the question is, what can we create to self-sustain?
Yes. Oh, I think I'm cutting this part out of the interview.
That has been the question for the last 3 years and for everybody.
Okay, let's scratch that. But so I guess I just want to really end on some just really good notes. I mean, are we going to see like some really good things come this year? It just seems like the past 3 years have been one horrible thing after another at a large scale. Is there going to be relief soon? Are we going to, I don't know, something great happening on this planet?
I just feel like there's a little bit more left. I'm not good.
Yikes.
Peaks and valleys.
It's very heartbreaking to hear that. It seems like the world needs a break.
Okay. If you think about everything, I don't know, it's hard to say, because I was going to say a time that has gone down and then gone back up. And how long has it taken to get back up?
It takes a while.
Right. Almost twice as long when you were down.
This has been super informative, and I don't know how to end this on a good note, because it seems a little depressing to think about the fact that things are going to get worse before they get better. And I know that is usually how things go, but it's always my hope, like personally, to help people find the tools to like to manage. And I mean, manage is probably not the best word, but to, I don't know, create something better while we're here for the time that we have left, I guess.
It's like, don't let this world eat you up, and take the time to do things you wanted to do. You know?
Yeah.
You may not get better entirely, you know, but at least in the moment it is.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, well, thank you for the ending note of positivity. Everyone, thank you so much for listening to this impromptu session that I had with my sister. If any of you ever have any questions that you want addressed, please feel free to email me. I think you know how to reach me. Any question is pretty much on the table. Everyone, please take care and have a really great rest of your week.